Praise God. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Who we are?
Yes.
What we have?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So let's just piggyback on that. Say, I am anointed.
I am anointed.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
I am
the
disciple
whom Jesus loves.
Hallelujah. You know, if you do that on Monday morning, when you're getting ready to go to work, I promise you, you'll start out your day better.
Amen.
Just getting started out, just saying, you look at yourself in the mirror and say, man, you can get up early in the morning when you still got that crud in your eyes and your hair is all jacked up. You can look into that mirror and you can say, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God loves you. You're blessed. Amen. I always think about that with Joseph. You remember when his brother sold him into slavery and he was stripped down to nothing and he was naked standing on the trading block when Potiphar was about to buy him? And the Bible says, and Joseph was a prosperous man. What's so powerful to me about that is that God said that about him when he had nothing, when everything had seemed to be taken away from him. So when we start to believe that I am a prosperous man or woman of God, when I am blessed, when I am anointed, even when everything in the natural seems contrary, that's when you start to experience it. Amen. You got to believe it when you don't see it so that you can see it. If you're waiting to see it before you start believing it, you probably won't ever see it. Is that too deep for a Sunday morning crowd? It's the truth. I'm just telling you, God wants us to believe by faith. He is a faith God. That's one thing, you study the Bible, you find out real quick, God is a God of faith. He wants you to believe it without seeing it. That's why he calls things that be not as though they were, like we just said we're going to do. Amen. Gideon, a coward, hiding in the wine press. God said, mighty man of valor.
That's right.
Boy, it didn't look like it, right? But he was, because God is a faith God. Amen. He looks at Peter, loudmouth Peter. The only time he wasn't putting one foot in the mouth was when he was taking it out to insert the other one in. God says, you're the rock. Abraham couldn't have children when he was in his prime. God calls him a father of many nations when he's real old. Why? Because God says, like he told the children of Israel, I have already given you the city. This is your possession. But, as I believe Pastor Robert has brought out recently, we've got to possess it. We've got to possess what is ours. And I'll tell you, one of the ways you do it is by doing exactly what we just did. You begin to believe it, speak it, and let it come out of your mouth. But I'm here to tell you there's something else that we possess that's equally as good. The Holy Ghost on the inside of us, amen. We are loaded with the Holy Ghost of power on the inside of us. How many of you are thankful that you have the Holy Spirit? So if you're thankful, then shouldn't you be saying thank you?
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's like we teach our kids this. We teach Levi, for example, to be thankful. Right? It's not just about saying thank you. It's about actually being grateful for what you have. And when you really are grateful, you will say thank you. You follow me? Well, it's like that with us. If we really are grateful, if we're really thankful for the Holy Spirit, we'll be telling God, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
And you should rise up from your bed in the morning and say, Lord, thank you for giving me the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of promise. And as we've been learning all the things that he's been commissioned and assigned to give to us, Lord, thank you that you have given me the Holy Spirit and you promise that he will abide with me forever. That means he's not leaving. He's not flighty. He's going to be there. Thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit sticks with me through thick and thin. Even when I'm faithless, he remains faithful in me. Amen. But not only that, but the Holy Ghost will also teach us all things. So, Father, I thank you that the teacher lives on the inside of me. Therefore, I have no excuse never for understanding the truth, never understanding the Word, never understanding things about Jesus, because I have the teacher that teaches me all things. Thank you for teaching me, Holy Spirit. But thank you, on top of that, that you also remind me of all the things God's already said to me. So thank you, Holy Ghost, that you live on the inside of me to remind me of everything God has said that maybe I just dropped the ball on. Thank you for bringing it back up to me by your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord. But on top of that, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you live on the inside of me to testify of Jesus. That means you are the ultimate one who testifies of Him, that witnesses of Him. Thank you that I got the best witness, the best testimony living on the inside of me. Thank you. And on top of that, thank you, Holy Ghost, that you live on the inside of me to convict me of all the things when I miss it, convict me of all the things when I need to know what I should be doing, and showing me the result of all those things. Thank you, Holy Ghost, that you are the convincer that brings things to light. And on top of that, thank you, Holy Ghost, that you live on the inside of me to guide me into all truth. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that when I move, I am guided. You are the rudder on this boat, hallelujah, that takes me in the direction I need to go. So I've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for all this wonderful ministry the Holy Spirit provides in my life. And guess what happens when you do that? The Bible teaches us that your faith abounds with thanksgiving. So as you begin to thank God for all these things, your faith will begin to overflow in order to receive those things. So as Pastor Robert exhorted us this morning, with thanksgiving, you thank God for these things so that you can get more of a manifestation of them. You don't thank God for them when you see them. You thank God before you see them, because you believe they're already done. Amen. So let's go over to John chapter 16. And let's look at another wonderful thing that the Holy Ghost has been provided to give to us. You know, we're, all these things that I just prayed, we're focusing on them from John 14 through 16. This is Jesus' last words to his disciples. Therefore, you can conclude some of these things contained in here are the most important things you ever told them. You know, it'd be like me if I was going to pass this church on to somebody and I got one meeting with them. Right before I was going to go. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to make sure I tell them the most important information right there at the end. That's what Jesus was doing. He was passing this on to his disciples, so he's giving them a crash course on the most important things they need to know when he's going to be gone. Amen? So here in John chapter 16, let's start back in verse 12. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come," and we found out He has come, amen. Amen. "He will guide you into all truth." Why? "For He will not speak on His own authority." Now let's look at this phrase for a moment. "For He will not speak on His own authority." Now I believe the New King James Version, which we're reading from, got it right. But if you look in your Bible, you'll notice the word authority is in italics. Most of your Bibles will bring this out. What does that mean? That means that it was not in the original Greek manuscript that the Bible was written in, the New Testament was written in. Therefore, it was added by the translators for clarification purposes. But it's actually a good translation. But here's a problem, because if you translate it literally, the King James Version says it this way, "For He shall not speak of Himself." And that's really a poor translation. You know why? Because it has led many well-meaning Christians to believe we should never talk about the Holy Ghost. Because after all, He never speaks of Himself. So people have taken that and run with it to say, see, you shouldn't be talking about the Holy Spirit, you should be talking about Jesus and everything like that. That is not what that phrase means. When you look this phrase up, it says, "For He shall not speak of His own authority," or "He will not speak of Himself." The word "of" comes from the Greek word apo, spelled A-P-O, and it literally means from or away from. And it denotes that this is the source of something and where it originates from. So when Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will not speak of Himself, what He's saying is the things that the Holy Spirit tells you do not originate from Himself. Which goes on to tell us that's pretty much exactly what Jesus said throughout His ministry, was it not? He said, "The things that I say don't come from me, but I only say what I hear the Father saying. I only do what I see the Father doing. So Jesus was living his entire ministry pointing everything to the Father, that the Father was the source of the and the origin of everything he did and said. Therefore, he's saying the Holy Spirit's going to do the same thing. And what have we been learning? That the Holy Ghost and Jesus are the same kind of helper. You remember that? So therefore, the Holy Spirit, it shouldn't surprise us that he's doing the same thing Jesus did. He's constantly saying, I'm saying this to you, but it's not originating from me. The things that I speak to you have come from the Father and from Jesus. Amen. Which shows us something that's very important about the Godhead. How much they operate in unity. Amen. And they give the glory and the honor to the other one. Constantly. Amen. And it shows me that's the way we should be operating. Right? You know, it's like, you'll hear us from behind this pulpit refer to other teachers here and what they say and bring those things out. And you know why that is? Because it's not about us. It's not about me as an individual. It's not about Pastor Robert. It's not about Minton. It's not about Donna. It's about this church and what the Lord is wanting to say. So if the Holy Ghost is saying it, we don't care who it comes through. Amen? And you shouldn't care either. Many of us have disqualified ourselves from having the Lord speak through us because we're waiting to be qualified for the Lord to speak through us. Listen, honey, let me give you a good piece of advice. The Lord, a couple of times in the Word of God, shows us that he speaks through donkeys. You remember Balaam's donkey? You remember that? Balaam pulls him aside, starts whipping on him, and the donkey starts talking back to him. Now, you reckon you might freak out a little bit if your dog turns around and starts talking to you like that? The donkey starts talking back to him, saying, why are you beating me? What have I done to you? And I'm sure Balaam had a revelation right there. So the donkey was spoken through. Amen? Now, was that donkey praying? Had that donkey spent a couple of hours in the prayer closet? Was he in the Word for a few weeks? Was he spiritual? No. I'm sure that same donkey had fleas and hadn't learned to wipe his rear end yet. But guess what happens? God speaks through him anyways. Showing us it's not about our own perfection and how good we are and how holy we are. God will speak through you if you just open yourself up. Amen. That wasn't the only donkey that was used, though. Do you remember the little donkey that the disciples went and got for Jesus to ride into Jerusalem? Now, had that donkey been spiritual? Had that donkey been holy? Righteous? No, he just was chosen. And the Lord was able to ride that thing. See, this is what this teaches me, is that if you want the Lord to speak through you, if the Lord to work through you, just be available. God is not looking for the able. He's looking for the available. If you just make yourself available, he'll use you. Amen? And it don't matter what you did last week. The devil will like to disqualify you, condemn you, but that's not what matters. Just let the Lord speak through you. So the Holy Spirit says, or Jesus says about the Holy Spirit, he will not speak on his own authority, or he will not, the things he says do not originate from himself. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And look at this one right here. And he will tell you things to come. So say this with me. Say, the Holy Spirit will tell me things to come. And I'm telling you, I'm sure many of us have a testimony in our life where the Holy Spirit has done this in our lives. And this is a wonderful benefit, ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit has been promised to tell you things to come. The King James Version says he will show you things to come. The word tell here, or show, as it's translated in the King James, means to declare, to report, or to announce. In fact, let's read the next couple of verses, 14 and 15, and notice this. In John chapter 16, verses 14 through 15, if you got your Bible open, let's turn over there. Jesus actually used this same word in other places. He said, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and what? Declare it to you. Declare is the same word as tell there at the end of verse 13. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said he will take of mine and, what? Declare it to you. So Jesus actually used this word three times in this passage of Scripture. And it means to declare, like I said, to announce or to tell. Therefore, even though the King James translates it as show, it's more accurately translated tell, because it's more of him verbally declaring or announcing something to us than visually seeing it, right? So we got this promise that the Holy Spirit will declare to us things to come. He will report to us things to come, or he will announce to us things to come. Now, one of the ways I like to study is I will actually take a Greek word like this and I will look it up in other passages of Scripture where it's used. And one thing that I found was a common, consistent way that this word was used was God would use this word tell in the sense of showing us how someone will tell another person of something great that's happened, or to communicate to them something else that's very important to know. All right? And actually, there's one over in Mark chapter 5 that I want us to look at. Go to Mark 5. Do you remember the story of the demoniac of the Gadarenes that Jesus completely delivered of that legion of demons? Well, here in Mark chapter 5, verse 19, this same word that was used for tell over there in John chapter 16 is used. So after the man was delivered, the demon-possessed man wanted to go with him. He wanted to be with him. But Jesus didn't permit him. And verse 19 says, however, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and what? Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. It's reminding me right now of that song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. You remember that? Well, I'm here to tell you the Holy Ghost will tell you of the great things that Jesus has already done for you, whether you realize it or not. And that's part of his ministry. So he will come and communicate to you these wonderful, great, and awesome things. Now go to Jeremiah 29, and let me show you something here. We're familiar with this scripture. Speaking of memorizing verses, this is probably one that several of us have memorized in here. 29:11. And notice this. Jeremiah says, for I know, he's speaking by the Lord, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, what I love about this, when he says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, some translations say, for I know the plans that I have for you. And that's actually a better translation. It does describe the plans, the purposes of God. But notice how God says this, for I know the thoughts or the plans that I have towards you. Why does he say it that way? Have you ever wondered that? For I know the thoughts or the plans. It's because, as a general rule, God's people think God's thinking something different than he is. They doubt God's plans and purposes. And so right here, God's like, look, you guys might not know it, but I know the plans that I have for you. And then he goes on to describe what these plans are. Thoughts of peace, plans of peace, and not of evil. Why does he say this? Because many of God's people think God is the source of the negativity in their life, the bad things that come in their life. Well, God just has a purpose in this for me. He sent this hurricane into my life to perform his plan and purpose in my life. No, honey, the Bible teaches us the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. And the Bible tells us in another place, John chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, if you think everything comes from God, how are you going to know what to submit to and what to resist? If you're commanded to submit to the things that come from God, resist the things that come from the devil, how are you going to know what you need to be submitting yourself to and what you need to be resisting? Well, sadly, most Christians are submitting to everything, thinking God's in control of everything. But we see right here, his thoughts and his plans for us are for our peace and not of evil. So if it is evil, and it's coming to steal, kill, and destroy, it is not from God, and therefore should be resisted. And to give you a what? A future and a hope. Now we're describing things to come, are we not? So God's saying, I know the plans that I have for you, the things that are to come, the good and glorious things that are in your future. Now, why does he tell us this? Does he tell us this so that we can just throw our hands in the air and say, "Que sera, sera, God knows, I guess I just don't need to know"? Well, what did we just learn? The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. So God's heart is this: I know the good plans that I have for you in your future. I know the things that are to come, and my heart's desire is to share them with you. You know, that's what Jesus told his disciples, was it not? It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to those on the outside, it's not been given. In other words, we're a part of God's fraternity. So we know the secret handshake. We know the secret knock. We are the ones that have been given the grace to know what our Father's doing, just like he did with his friend Abraham. You remember that? He's about to come and bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. And then what does he do? He has a conversation with himself. And he said, is it right for us not to share with Abraham the things that we're about to do? God will always share things with his people and his prophets. So we're not supposed to be in the dark about things. Jesus said in another place, he said, "You're no longer do I call you servants, but now you're my friends. You're my friend. And because you're my friend, I'm going to tell you all the things I'm doing." Amen. So we're his prophets. We're his people. We're his friends. But here, it's even deeper than that. We are sons of God. We're in the family. Therefore, we can know what Father God, not the Godfather, Father God will do. And he's not the Godfather out there trying to whack people. He's trying to bless people, and he'll let you know when it's coming. So you know what it is. Hallelujah. God is so good. But I'm telling you, you talk to most Christians, and they'll think you're serving the Godfather. That's what they think. You know what? It's kind of like, you know how these guys used to operate, right? They'd go to the business in the town, and they'd go to them, and they got baseball bats in their hand. And they'd come there and knock and say, "Hey, have you got insurance for hazardous things happening?" They're like, no, we don't need that. We don't. Who do you need it from? You need it from us. Beating those baseball bats on their hand. Amen. Praise God. So, the Lord is not like that. The Lord is what? Good and gracious and a good, good Father, as we've been learning, who wants to and desires to show you things which are to come. Amen. Now, go to 1 Corinthians real quick, and let's look at something. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to show you a very abused passage of Scripture. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. We might get into this in more detail next week when we look at our last week's probably the final teaching in this particular series. And then we'll move into something else about the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Notice this. This is quotation from probably a compilation of a couple of Old Testament Scriptures. It says, "But as it is written, I has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Let's read this like they read it in seminary. "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." And then they just end there like that is our lot in life. "For never to know and see with our eyes, never to hear with our ears, and never to even conjure up in our heart the things that God has prepared for those who love him." Let's read the next verse. You think that might be a good idea? Look at verse 10. "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit." So all the things God has prepared for those who love him, the things which are to come, God has said his Holy Spirit has been put on the inside of you to reveal those things to you. Amen. So the Holy Ghost on the inside of me will show me all the great and glorious things that God has in store for me. And on that note, we are going to hear a testimony right now from my precious wife, Because she has a wonderful story and an example. You know, many of us have examples of how the Holy Spirit showed us things to come. Well, many of you have never heard her testimony. She shared it like on Sunday nights and on women's meetings and things like that. But this morning, I really felt led of the Holy Ghost to let you hear her story of how she was baptized in the Holy Spirit and how this was one of the first things the Lord ever showed her that God would do for us. So Shannon, come on up here. Let's give her a hand while she's coming. Thank you, Jesus. There you go.
Well, can y'all hear me? Oh, sorry. Not used to the handheld. I'm sorry. I have to get the distance right. I'm going to start by saying that I was born and raised in a godly home. My parents loved the Lord. I loved the Lord. But right after I graduated from college, I went through a time where I just felt really, really dry, incredibly dry, and got really stagnant in my walk with the Lord. And I remember going to church one Sunday. I went to a Baptist church here in town, and I had begun, let me back up and say this too. I had begun watching Joyce Meyer on television. Loved her. And the thing that I really loved so much about her is she has let everything in life shape her and make her into a better person instead of her choosing to be bitter. So when I see somebody that doesn't just talk the talk, but I see the fruit in their life, I'm going to tend to listen to that person a little bit more. Y'all know what I'm saying? So I had really started getting involved and listening to her and really started hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And, you know, the word says, you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. Not you might, not you can, but you will be filled. You get serious about God, and God will get serious about you real quick. So I come out of church one Sunday, and I remember going to my car and sitting there holding onto the steering wheel. And I told the Lord, I said, I know that there has got to be more to the life of a believer than what I'm experiencing. Because if not, you died in vain. And I know that's not true, so I need you to show me what is. Well, at this time, I was working as a fitness instructor at the Wellness Center. And the front desk called me one day and said, you have an assessment. So every time somebody came in, we had to assess them, get medical history, that kind of thing. So, Mama Kay, will you just hold your hand up? Kay Pennington, I don't know if y'all have met her yet. Our family affectionately refers to her as Mama Kay because she's like a second mama to our family. Well, she was the one who came to the Wellness Center that day to get her assessment done. I take her to the back, and she says, I have no idea why I'm here. I have a full gym at my house, but the Lord would not get off my case about coming to the Wellness Center. So she said, I finally agreed, and, you know, here I am. So we got to talking about the things of the Lord. I shared some things with her, and she had gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit at a Joyce Meyer conference. So we got to talking about that. She told me about speaking in tongues and, you know, how the Holy Spirit will empower you to walk out this life and really help you get out of the dugout onto the playing field of life. He will empower you to do that. So I'm like, oh, okay, man, this is sounding really, really good. So anyway, at this point, I had not gone to my singles Sunday school class for about a year. Well, about a week after I met her, the Holy Spirit arrested me one Sunday morning, and I knew that I had to get there. I knew I had to get to Sunday school that morning. Nothing in my flesh wanted to go, but I knew that he was prompting me to get there. So I go to Sunday school that morning, find out that a group of ladies from my singles class are going to a Joyce Meyer conference the next week. I would have never found that out had I not gone. So anyway, I went with them. It was in Atlanta. We went, and I stayed afterwards, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and spoke in tongues. Well, we got home that night, and I opened my Bible, and it fell open to John 16. And my eyes fell on verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority. He will speak only what he hears from the Father, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come. Well, Some of you know this, some of you don't, but from the time I was a little girl, all I really could tell you that I ever wanted to do when I grew up was to be a wife and a mama. That's all I wanted to do. I didn't want to climb the corporate ladder. I didn't want to do anything like that. I knew God had put a strong desire in my heart to be a wife and a mama. So I read this verse, and I'm thinking, He'll show me things to come. He'll show me who I'm supposed to marry. I don't have to date anymore. I didn't date a whole lot anyway, but the ones that I did date were some real winners. So anyway, not good. So anyway, I finally got enough sense to listen, you know, to what the Lord was directing me to do. So anyway, thought I'm not dating anymore. I'm not dating anymore. If I'm supposed to be married, and I know I am, then I am going to wait and let the Lord do it because He does it right. So that was 1998. That was November of 1998. Fast forward to 2005. I moved to Athens to work for my brother. And I Googled, before I went to Athens, I Googled Spirit-filled churches in Athens, Georgia. And the first one that popped up, my eyes just, I knew that was where I was supposed to go, is Victory Life Church. So after I got up there, I started attending this church and met Trey's mom and dad. It was their church. And he was not attending at the time. Trey was going to another church. So I started going to their church, got really close to his mom and dad. And his dad kept saying, you need to meet this girl. You know, I even if y'all don't date, I think y'all be good friends or whatever. So in December of that year, one evening service, he came on an evening service. So I come into the church that night, and I'm just, you know, conversating with people. Finally sit down on the middle row. Well, I look over on the right-hand side of the church, and I see him, and the Holy Spirit spoke as clearly as I'm speaking to you now. He said, that's the man you're going to spend the rest of your life with. I did not go tell him what he said. I just flat out, I was like Mary. I pondered those things in my heart. I didn't want to freak him out. So anyway, I did ponder that in my heart and kept that to myself. So anyway, not too long after that, we went on our first date, and shortly thereafter got engaged and got married. But anyway, that to me is the key that so much of the body of Christ is missing. I felt so empowered. I can't even explain it to y'all. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, to know that I have somebody that's going to constantly lead and guide me into all truth. And I will say this too about Mama Kay. You know, she was really trusting in the Lord with all her heart and leaning not to her own understanding in order to be led there, because the Lord has had her play such a vital role in my life. I don't know where I would be spiritually today if it weren't for her. She's like my spiritual mama. So thank you for being obedient and for listening to the Holy Spirit, because you don't know, not only in my life, but in a lot of other people's lives, you have played a vital role. So thank you for that. But anytime you can figure something out in your head, you can just about be guaranteed that it's not God. Otherwise, he wouldn't say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. We have to lean on the Holy Spirit. He will lead and guide us into all truth and show us things to come. So I just want to encourage you, if you have anything in your life that you need the Holy Spirit to show you things to come, whether it be marriage, finances, a relationship, whatever, just know that He is so faithful. The Lord loves you so much, and He will truly, He will always be good to His word. I love that scripture in Isaiah that says, for as the rain and the snow fall down from heaven and don't return, but that the word will go out and accomplish that for which the Lord purposes it. It will never return to Him void. So you can be encouraged, and you can be sure that this right here you can always anchor your soul in, no matter what life throws your way. Amen. Amen.
Love you, babe. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Which leads me to my next point. Do you know why the Lord shows us things to come like that? Oftentimes it's because there's rough sailing ahead. And you're going to need something to anchor you down. So I jokingly tell people, me and Shannon have done, you know, marriage conferences and things like that. And that's one of our little jokes. I'm halfway serious, though, when I say it. It's, the Lord had to tell her that so that she had something to be anchored in, because it wasn't going to be easy to be married to me. Amen. But that is a valid point of why the Holy Spirit shows us things to come. He shows us things to come because, yes, He wants to share with us the good things that are ahead. Sometimes the Holy Spirit does show us things to come because there is rough sailing ahead, like I just said, meaning He's attempting to prepare us for something. And there's two reasons why He does this. One is He will prepare us of things to come that might be negative, that might be hard and difficult, just simply to have us mentally ready to be able to get through that. You remember the Apostle Paul is a great example of this. The Apostle Paul had the Lord tell him at his conversion, "I'm going to tell you all the many things you must suffer for my name's sake." Now, do you reckon that was a little helpful for Paul to go through all this stuff that he went through to know, "But the Lord told me this was going to happen"? So a lot of times the Holy Ghost will do that for us. He's going to show you things just so you can endure, so that you can be patient when you go through it. But sometimes the Holy Ghost will show you things to come because He's attempting to have you to be prepared so that you can avoid them or make the necessary changes that need to be in your life to be ready for them. In fact, over here in Acts chapter 11, let me show you this. Go to Acts 11 with me. Thank you, Jesus. Now listen, I'm going to go ahead and warn you of something. Don't let the only thing you take away from today's message is, "I need to look around in this church to have the Holy Ghost show me who I'm supposed to marry." Right? I know that went through some of y'all's minds. Let the Lord do it. I mean, two wonderful examples, speaking of marriage, is my wife and my sister. In both of their cases, when they had resolved to seek first the kingdom of God and quit trying to find the person, that's when the Lord immediately brought that person to them. So a lot of times when we resolve to lay our Isaac down, because it can be an idol, you understand? When we lay our Isaac down, you know, then that's when we catch up, hallelujah, with that ram coming up the other side. God's provision, amen. Acts chapter 11, let's look at this. Verse 27. It says, "And in these days prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed how, by the Spirit, that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar." All right, so this prophet, through the Holy Spirit, showed them the things which were to come. Do you see that here? So here we see one of the ways that the Holy Spirit does show us things to come. It's through His prophets, through prophetic words, amen, right? Now notice what happened in the next verse, verse 29. He says, "Then the disciples, each according to his own ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea." So what did it do? This information didn't just cause them to freak out. It caused them to, according to their own ability, gather their finances together, their things, their material possessions, and go ahead and send relief beforehand. Now, this should remind us of another biblical example. Do you remember Joseph? God gave him the dreams. And what happens? He goes to Pharaoh, interprets the dreams, excuse me, for Pharaoh. And what happens? God used that for a couple of reasons. We know it was so that he would be elevated into the second most powerful position in the earth of that day. So God fulfilling the dreams that he had already given him about how he was going to be raised up and the things he shared with his brothers. But it was also to bring God's provision for that time. So in Egypt, they began to gather all these things up and went through certain things. So it produced the exact same benefits as this right here, right? So let me ask you a question. If the Holy Ghost, through dreams and through prophetic words and through other ways, will let us know of tough things that are ahead, will the Holy Ghost still today show us if there was going to be an economic crash? Or show us if there was going to be some other difficulties so that His church could rise up and be the source of provision for the rest of the world during that time? I'm here to tell you the Holy Ghost does still show us things so that we can be ready for whatever happens. Amen? And like I said earlier, sometimes this is to prepare us for these things so that we can be ready. Sometimes it's simply to prevent those things. Now, you know, there is a group of believers out there, and I'm not going to have time to go through all these scriptures today. They'll be in my notes that I send out. But there is a group of people out there that believe that the Apostle Paul missed it in going to Jerusalem the final time. You know, where he ended up being arrested and taken off to Rome and everything. And there's one of the reasons for that is because there's a scripture, and you can go read them, Acts chapter 19 through 21. We see a lot of this account. In this one particular scripture, it talked about how he went to a certain area, and the disciples there showed him by the Spirit that he was not to go to Jerusalem. That's specifically what it said. So they specifically told him, don't go there. Now, there are other instances in the Word of God where it shows that it seemed like he was bound by the Spirit to go certain places and purposed in the Spirit to go there. I'm not here to tell you one way or the other, but I think there is great lessons that we can learn from that. For one, anybody can miss it, right? You do realize that. Even though the Bible doesn't paint a very clear picture of all these saints that we look up to in the Word of God, many of them made major mistakes. Abraham lied and tried to give his wife over and saying she was his sister. Right? Moses made a big mistake. And remember striking that rock when he was supposed to speak to it. So don't think just because somebody was a great man or woman of God that they can't miss it. Even the Apostle Paul would have been capable of missing it. All right? But here's the key. Is that throughout his time, we see scriptures that when he was going from city to city on his missionary journeys, he said out of his own mouth that in every city I go, the Holy Spirit testifies of the chains and tribulations that await me there. So the Holy Spirit was preparing him at the very least to, this is what's going to happen because you're in my will. Or it could have been the Holy Ghost telling him, like we just looked at in that other scripture, don't go there. And he's just continuously repeating that to him and letting him know. Either way, the bottom line is what we can learn from this is the Holy Spirit wants to prepare you for what's ahead. Amen? And thank God for that. So the Holy Spirit will prepare you for the good things that are ahead. He'll let you know. He'll give you foreknowledge of everything God said He's going to do for you and in your life. And I'm thankful for that. Many of us, I know Pastor Robert has that in his testimony, that there is a lot of things that the Lord shows you, this is what you're going to do for me in the future. How many of you have had the Holy Spirit show you things that were going to happen in the future that you haven't seen the fulfillment of yet? Now, I want you to notice one thing about Shannon's testimony, is that when she got that revelation, the Holy Spirit will show her things to come, that was 1998, and it was 2005 before that happened. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes there are years. There's a process of waiting. And sometimes, many times we think, well, God's just waiting. You know, we're waiting on God and God doesn't want to do it yet. Sometimes we're not ready for it to happen. The Lord told the children of Israel, I'm going to cause you to inherit the land little by little, lest the beast of the field overtake you. In other words, because they didn't have the manpower or the training to be able to take care of everything that was there, God couldn't give it to them yet. So sometimes God, we're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us to get ready. Amen? So prepare yourself, amen, and the provision will come. So He's going to show you the good things that are coming, but He'll also prepare you for when there are difficult times coming, things that are not easily avoided. They might happen like that, so we need to be ready for those things. But the bottom line is this, the Holy Spirit on the inside of us wants to prepare us for the good and the bad. He doesn't want us to be in the dark and just show up and things just overtake us and we don't know what's happening. Amen? One last scripture, Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Woo! This one has been resonating with me. And we can apply this to this particular ministry of the Holy Ghost to show us things to come. The Lord promised, He said this, call to me. Now, you know, we got that old song. What is it? Call him up, tell him what you want. Amen. Call to me, and I will answer you. So when you go to the Lord and approach Him with something, what should your heart attitude be? Lord, I thank you. I'm about to call on you, and I thank you. You already promised you will answer me. So I'm expecting an answer. And He will what? show you great and mighty things which you do not know. But how does it start? Holy Spirit, I'm calling you up right now. Holy Ghost, you live on the inside of me, amen? And you will answer me. You're going to show me great and mighty things. You're going to prepare me for the good. You're going to prepare me for the bad. You will show me, you will tell me, you will declare and announce to me the things which are to come in my life. And as we started off this message with, when we start to thank God for this, get ready, get ready, get ready, because the Holy Ghost will begin to start meeting you according to your earnest expectation and start opening your eyes to things. It might be through a prophetic word being given to you. It might be through a dream like it was with Joseph. It might be through all these different things, but the Holy Ghost will begin to show you, and don't limit him and tie his hands in how he does it. He'll show you. He'll prepare you. He'll get you ready, because his commission is to show you, to tell you things to come. Can I get an amen? Let's stand on our feet then. Hallelujah.